Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Father, here we are, assembled together as the family of Second Mile Church. And Father, first of all, we want to thank you for your amazing grace. Without it, we have no hope. Father, as our pastor comes this morning to read and proclaim your word, Father, we would just pray that you would empower him. May your spirit direct him to preach the way you would have him preach the word to us. And then, Father, as the church family, help us to have ears to hear and willing hearts that are open to receive what is proclaimed this day. And, Father, help us not only to receive it, but to put it in practice as we leave today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have y'all been seeing what God's doing up at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky? If you haven't seen that, you need to get out more. Revival has come to several of our college campuses. Same thing that happened back in 1970 is happening again on our college campuses. They had chapel service Wednesday, and they've been having chapel 24/7 since then. 1,500 folks jam-packed in that chapel at Asbury College. And, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if God sent a Holy Ghost, heaven sent, Christ-honoring, devil-defeating, fast-growing revival on our college campuses? Yeah. Whoo, glory to God. And wouldn't it be good if he sent one here? Yeah. Well, he can and he will. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. We're beginning this morning. Last week I preached on the theme of getting free in 23. That's what we're going to be looking at all year long. Getting free in 23. Look at your neighbor and say, are you getting free? All right. And this morning, we're beginning a four-part sermon series I'm calling Free from Sin. Free from Sin. And I'm going to be preaching four messages on what it means to be free from sin. And I'm praying at the end of these four messages, somebody will stand up in here and shout, I'm free! Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty I'm free at last. So we're going to be talking about that over the next 4 weeks, about free from sin, and it'll tie in with our theme for the year. And did you know that God has hardwired you for freedom? Freedom, it's at the very core of our being. It's in every fiber of your body and your spirit. God wants you to be free. Remember the verse from last week, our theme verse for the year, John 8:32. Does anybody remember that verse? And you shall know the, and the truth will do what? That's right. So God's desires that we all might be free. Free from the slavery of sin. Free from oppression and bondage. Free to give and to live and to love like we've never experienced before. And so I'm all about freedom. And for the next 4 weeks, you're going to be learning and hearing about this sermon series of being free from sin. And it's something we need to hear, and it's something we need to be reminded of. But more specifically this morning, I want to dig a little bit even deeper on that truth with the sub-point of we are free from the penalty of sin. And hopefully there'll be close to 200 amens when we get to the close of this. Now, we're in Romans chapter 8. Let me read verses 1 and 2. And if we'll stand in honor of God's word one more time today. And by the way, where did Brother Andrew Penny go? Did he run off? He has run off. He's down there eating. All right. I just wanted to encourage you, brother. Thank you for the prayer time this morning. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now okay, y'all, focus in now, okay? My house shall be called a house of prayer. And so praying together is what this thing's all about, and praying individually. And so one of these days we're going to be face-to-face with him, and you won't have to do that. And we'll be actually talking straight to him. Can you imagine that? Well, we're getting a glimpse of glory with prayer today. So here's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, mercy, we should have had a stampede right then. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, here it is, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let me read verse 3 too. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. I said God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Heavenly Father, would you bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word this morning in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we're in Romans chapter 8. And I believe that the book of Romans was Paul's greatest work. Now, I know the Holy Spirit of God's the one who gave it to him and inspired it, and Paul wrote it down. But some have called Romans chapter 8 the Mount Everest of the Bible. It is a huge passage of Scripture. It begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. It is a fabulous passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 8. And Paul's been climbing this mountain, this Mount Everest, ever since Romans chapter 1. He's been describing the horrific state that humanity is in because of this thing called sin. And he's talked about how sin has destroyed us and defeated us and depressed us and degraded us, how sin has frustrated us and enslaved us and brought us to the point that our souls are just poor and wretched and miserable. Sin's done a number on us, right? And you can almost sense Paul's excitement and his exhilaration as he's climbing. And he's just about gotten to the pinnacle point of this passage as he comes to declare the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And here's the principle of freedom that he's given to us. He says, the law of sin and death has been canceled by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, so that everybody can wrap your head around that, let me just give it to you in layman's term. Basically, what Paul's telling us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that the sin that sends you to hell for all of eternity has been done away with. Now, I know I've been on this all week, and you're just now getting it, but bless God. The law that says your sins are going to take you to hell for all of eternity, and you're going to pay the punishment, you're going to pay the price, you're going to be under judgment of your sin for all of eternity, that law has been canceled. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five in here today. Hallelujah. I just saw a couple in their 80s give one another a high five. Hallelujah. Romans 8, Wonderful passage of Scripture. And I just want to give us two truths. We're going to have the Lord's Supper, obviously, here in a few minutes. And later on, we're going to have baptism after Sunday school. And so I'm excited about what God's doing here today. But let me talk to you for just a few minutes about being free from the penalty of sin. I want you to wrap your heart around this. And I believe that it's going to set somebody in here free. Because I don't want to point out anybody. But you know what some of us do? We drag our sins around with us. God's forgiven you, wiped the slate clean, and yet you're still dragging that sin around with you. I like the video, brother. Somebody's going to get free in here today. Here it is. First of all, we have a sure pardon. Look at verse 1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what is a pardon? Well, sometimes a governor of a state or even the president of the United States, before they step down out of office, they'll pardon some people who have been condemned with some offense or some charge that they've been found guilty of, and they will pardon them. And so that's what a pardon is when somebody has been completely forgiven of their offense or charge. And that's exactly what happens for those who are in Christ. Everybody smile. That's what happens for us. We have a sure pardon. Now, this pardon is available only for those who are in Christ. Notice I didn't say for those who are in church. Or for those who are in Sunday school. Or for those who are in the Bible. Or even, it doesn't say, even for those who are in the baptistry. It's only available for those who are in Christ. That's why I preached the message last Sunday that I preached, so that you would know what it looks like to be in Christ. And you remember the proof positive of someone who's in Christ happens. The evidence they're giving of their faith is the way they live their life. By continuing in the Word of God, by pleasing God, by obeying Him in order to please Him. Jesus' teachings become our way of life. That is proof, that is evidence that you've been, that you're in Christ. Everybody with me so far? I mean, communication's huge with me. I want to be sure that we're getting through to you. And so the key to freedom is being in Christ. Now, I want to say two things about this sure pardon that we've got. Here's the first one. Jesus has given us a present pardon right now. He says, there is therefore... No, that's wrong. There is therefore now. There you go. There is therefore right now. Words mean something. And this pardon that Jesus shed His blood so that we could be forgiven of our sin, it happens right now. As soon as you receive Christ, right then, now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, but right now. That's why Paul said over here in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel. You can have what you need right now. That's what's behind all of this. And Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel. And the word gospel means what? Good news. Now, in order to get good news, there must have been some... Boy, y'all are getting good. And the bad news is that we were all on a sinking ship called sin. We were all under judgment. We were all under condemnation. Every single one of us. The Bible says we're not only choose to sin, we're born into sin. Bless God, Romans 3:23 says what? Any of you all have, and what does it mean to fall short of the glory? It means you and I fall far short of being righteous. What we need is the righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter 3 is huge too. says there's none righteous. There's none who seeketh after God. The Bible says we're all of us have fallen short. We're short of the glory of God. We're short of His righteousness. We need His righteousness in order to be in relationship with God. And so that pardon, as soon as you are saved, at the moment you are born again, the very nanosecond that you have received Christ, the Holy Spirit justifies you, seals you, comes into your heart and life to take up residence, and right then you are no longer under the condemnation for your sin. How has the slate been wiped clean? How are our sins, though once as scarlet, are now white as snow? Because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. And the good news is, somebody up in here today, you can be pardoned from your sin. You can step out from under the condemnation of having to pay for your sin for all of eternity. You can have that right now, today. That's why the gospel is such good news. You don't have to wait around for it. Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And so this is a present pardon. Immediately it takes place. Jesus gives us a present pardon. And then secondly, He gives us a this pardon is a permanent pardon. Now y'all hang in here with me, okay? Now remember I said words mean something? Y'all had the second part before the first part. There is therefore now what? Now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, notice what this does not say. There is therefore now no sin. There is therefore now no failures, no faults, no transgressions, no trespasses. No, it says there's therefore now no condemnation. Right? And here's the deal. When we sin after you're born again, and by the way, the scripture says if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. Now, you ought to sin less after you come to Christ, less and less and less. And we're going to talk more about that next week, that you've been set free from the power of sin. I could preach all four of these sermons today, and then we'd be here till Super Bowl time. And then y'all would, anyways. But here's the deal, y'all. This is so good. This is a permanent pardon. He says there's no condemnation for your sin. In other words, how is that possible? Because Jesus took our punishment. He stepped in our place. And the case against us has been dismissed. You're free. Now, when we sin as believers, there are consequences for sin. If I left out of here, and I've told y'all before, went out of here, and y'all know what getting Cootie Brown drunk is? That's sin. That's major sin. And I wrapped my car around a telephone pole, and I've so messed up my arm that they had to amputate my arm. Could I be forgiven for the sin of drunkenness? Yes. But I'm still going to go through life without this arm. There are consequences for sin. And by the way, if you're a believer, don't you ever think you're going to get by with sin. God's going to deal with you. He didn't let Jesus get by with our sin. So what makes us think I can get by with my sin? Answer is I can't and I won't. There are consequences. But so far as being condemned for my sin, we have moved out from under judgment. In other words, you'll never be hauled back into God's courtroom and say, "Well, the judge says, I'll save you, but the very first time an ugly word comes out of your mouth or a bad thought passes through your mind, it's back to hell you go." Uh-uh. No. This pardon that we receive for salvation, it is permanent. It lasts for all of eternity. By the way, some of us, some of my brothers and sisters in other flavors and other fellowships, you understand what I'm saying? It's like God puts you on probation. God doesn't put people on probation. He doesn't put people on parole. Bless God. He gives them a sure, present, permanent pardon. Jesus took our guilt for us. He paid the price for us. He did everything that was needed to be done so that we would no longer be under condemnation and judgment for our sin. He took that. I don't believe in this once saved, always saved mess that we Baptists have preached for years and years, that you can get saved and then go live any old way you want to. And a lot of our folks are just trying to live as close to hell as they can, and yet still all they've got is fire insurance. I don't believe in that. But here's what I do believe, and I believe the Bible teaches this. If you have been truly saved, you are saved for all of eternity. And you're never going to be condemned and have to be responsible for your sins being held against you. Am I making sense? Is that communicating with you? Yeah, there's consequences when we sin. But so far as condemnation and being condemned, Jesus, God condemned our sin through the blood of His Son. Does that make sense? So we have a present and permanent pardon. And so I've come here today to tell you, quit dragging that sin around. It ain't yours no more. Jesus took care of it for you. And by the way, that makes me want to live for His honor and praise and glory. That doesn't want to make me, well, I wonder if I can get by with doing this, or I can get by with doing that, or I can get by. What you probably need is a good dose of salvation. Amen? We have a sure pardon. Look at your neighbor and tell them, we've been pardoned. Here's one more truth. We have a secure position. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Whoo, glory. Now, listen to me. I think y'all have got this, but let me just say it in a different way. God's pardon is not based on our performance. It's based on our position. And Paul brings up two different laws here. The law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Two different laws. And here's what we're talking about. Once you are in the Beloved, once you've been born again, once you've been saved, once you're a Christian, once you become a follower, a believer of Jesus Christ, you have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the life of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. So let's just talk about these two laws for a minute, can we? Is it okay? First of all, the law of sin and death. Now look at Rome. Just turn left in your Bible a page or so to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. Are you there? Now we're talking now about the law of sin and death. For the wages of sin is death. Death. The Bible word for death means separation. Now, when physical death takes place, the body is separated from the soul and the spirit. The body goes to the grave, the soul and the spirit go somewhere else. That's another sermon for another time, but separation. And then spiritual death takes place when... Now, I'd already said that we're born into sin. We're sinners by birth. Oh, not my little newborn baby. Oh, yeah. And in just a few short months or even maybe a couple of years, you're going to find out that they're sinners. You don't have to teach them. They've already got it. It's ingrained in them. And here's the deal with that. How do I say this nicely? You see that word their wage. The wages of sin is death. That word wage means payment. In other words, the payment you get for working all week is... How many of y'all like that? Well, there's a payment, there's a wage for sin, and it's death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Now, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they were going to live forever. They were clothed in the glory of God. They had the righteousness, okay? But when they sinned, they forfeited all of that. And you remember what God had told Adam? He said, you can eat from every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And on the day you eat thereof, you shall surely... Well, guess what? Adam lived to be 930-something years old, I believe. He didn't die right then. But he immediately died spiritually right then. Because his sin, the wages, the payment for sin is separation from God. And God had to kill an animal and shed the blood of an animal so that Adam and Eve could be forgiven of their sin. And then 900-something years later, oh, Adam died. When you get to Genesis chapter 5, it is the death chapter. Scripture says Adam died. And then it says he died. And he died. And he goes through this genealogy list. And he died. And he died. And he, let me just tell you, if Jesus tarries, I know you didn't come to hear that this morning, but if Jesus tarries, everybody in this room is going to be graveyard dead. Why? Because of sin. Sin kills us. I got a call a while back. This has been a couple years ago from... I didn't get a call from the doctor. I got a call from the nurse. And she said, you've got to do something. I mean, she just dove in on me right at the beginning of the conversation. And she said, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so office. And she said, did you know that your cholesterol's 180? We got to put you on some medicine. I said, well, that's a shame. I've been trying to get it up to at least 200. But what I wanted to tell her, cholesterol's not going to kill me. If my cholesterol was zero, I'm still going to die. Why? Not because of cholesterol, but because of sin. Now, don't take what I've just said to go out here and start sucking lard through a straw, okay? But it's sin that kills us. It's sin that destroys us. That's the law of sin and death. Y'all understand that one, right? Okay, but there's a higher law in place now. There's a higher law in place. And the higher law takes the sting out of death. It takes victory from death in the grave. Did a funeral yesterday, and man, so applicable. And by the way, the old law of sin and death has no jurisdiction over you anymore if you're in Christ. That's the key if you're in Christ. And why? Because Jesus suffered that condemnation for you. And there's a law, I think it's still today. I don't have Kevin here, the lawyer, but there's a law called double jeopardy. And you can't... if you're tried for a specific crime and found innocent, you can't be tried twice for the same crime. It's the same way for the believer. You can never be condemned for your sin again because God condemned our sin through the blood of His Son, Jesus. Give God praise today. Jesus paid it all. The law of sin and death has been canceled. If you're in Christ. What about the law of life in the Spirit? Let me read verse 3. This is amazing truth right here. For what the law could not do. You see, all the law could do is show us the standard. What God expects, the commandments. It couldn't set us free. All it could do was bring us all under condemnation. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was like us, but He was not like us. Hello? He was tempted to sin in every area that we're tempted in, but He never gave in to sin. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Here it is, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I've just said a mouthful right there, but you are secure in your position, not because of your performance. You are now no longer under this law of sin and death. You're under the higher law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're now free from that old law of sin and death. You see, one law brings freedom. The other law brings failure. One law brings liberation. The other law brings condemnation. One law brings blessing, and the other law brings burden. One law brings deliverance. The other law brings death. I wished I had a great illustration here, but I hadn't come across one. I hadn't thought of one. But here's the deal, y'all. When God sees you and He looks at you today, you're in a higher position. You're under that higher law because you've got life in the Spirit. You're not under that old law anymore. You are positioned in a higher place. And by the way, whether you know this or not, you are somebody because you're in Christ. And God doesn't make mistakes. And if you're in Christ, who are you to keep dragging that sin around with you over and over and over again? Listen, whatever it is, Jesus' blood took care of that sin. And you need to let go of it. If Jesus forgives you of it, how can you hold it against yourself? Hello? I don't know who I'm talking to here, but I see so many miserable Christians. And there's a difference. I'm going to talk more about this next week, about getting free from the power of sin. But I just want to let y'all know, God has given us everything we need to live above sin. And one day, bless God, you're no longer even going to be under the presence of sin. That's the third sermon. You need to show up for that one. And the last one is, we've been set free from the person of sin. Y'all know who I'm talking about there? Oh, come on. We're all on a first name basis with Him. So I've come here today to tell you, we are free from sin. We're no longer under the penalty of sin. God's never going to drag you back into His courtroom and say, it's back to hell you go. You've been set free. Jesus took your guilt. He took your sin. He took care of your punishment. He stepped in and became the sacrifice, satisfied God's wrath for your sin, and now you are free. You're out from under that condemnation. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of y'all are going to get this just before kickoff. And you're going to stand up and start shouting, I'm free. I'm free. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Would you pray with me? Father, I don't even begin to know everything that everybody here is going through. But God, I don't have to, because You do. And Lord, right now, would You set Your people free? Would You help us to be able to enjoy the freedom that we have because of what Jesus did for us? And Lord, if there's some folks here that are not sure whether or not they're in Christ or not, God, we can settle that issue today. Right now, we can know that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And so, God, would you set us free? Would you set us free? In just a moment, we're going to sit down at the Lord's table and enjoy communion together. And my Bible tells me, if you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your heart and in your life, you're eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. Well, guess what you got to do to get out from under that? Here it is. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the altar is going to be open. As you prepare to take the supper, as you prepare to sit down at communion with the Lord, you need to deal with the sin in your heart and in your life. If you're a believer, just confess that to Him and receive His cleansing and washing and get that issue right with Him. The altar's open now. Andrew and the worship team's going to lead us.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.